I thank God for that. But I got a title here tonight for Pastor Copeland and for you. And when I get into this, you're going to see how this all ties in. The title of my message tonight, and while you're standing, if you got your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. We'll begin reading there, but before I do, the title of this message tonight, The National Anthem of Hell. The National Anthem of Hell. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11, and I am so happy to have my little darling with me. Everywhere I go now, we don't have to work. I just ride around, take her everywhere I go. I'm a blessed man, and she can sing like little Loretta Lynn or some of these other. She can open up and bell her, and next time she comes, I promise you, I'll let her sing first. I might even put her in the choir up here one day. Helped out. Y'all got such a wonderful choir, wonderful praise team. Give them a hand clap of praise. Would you do that? Praise God. Hallelujah. All I'm asking you to do tonight is help me. All I want you to do is keep both feet on the floor as much as you can and buckle up and hold on. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell, everybody say hell, hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. One more scripture, verse 24. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, we're here tonight, dear Lord, on a mission for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I plead the blood of Jesus upon every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place. Arrest every heart, every thought, every mind. Anoint every ear to hear and prepare their hearts, dear Lord, to receive. God, that you would anoint the servant, dear night, dear Lord. Anoint my lips, God, that I may be worthy to speak to your people. Anoint everything that is said or done in this sanctuary tonight, Lord. God, and we'll give you the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give him one hand praise, and you may be seated. Is it all right if I take my coat off? You know, these boy preachers that read their messages, they don't have to take their coats off. But I'm going to work, and I'm already warmed up. According to the encyclopedia, the definition of an anthem, remember now, the national anthem of hell. So the definition of an anthem is a song of praise and devotion or patriotism. A national anthem is an official patriotic song of a nation. National anthems are intended to stir up a sense of patriotism and loyalty among citizens and upon countries and upon the state. They are performed at official ceremonial and public occasions, international gatherings, and at athletic sporting events. They are also sometimes played to honor heads of state. Most national anthems are composed of marches and hymns and anthems. The words of some national anthems commemorate the ideals of a nation, while other anthems celebrate a country's natural beauty and honor the natural and the national hero of that nation or state. Some anthems recall national crisis of important events in countries and history. Some music and words have been composed specifically for use of a national anthem. However, many countries have adapted existing music and words for their own anthems. The idea of an official national anthem dates back as far as 1825. At that time, England's patriotic song, "God Save the King or the Queen," was the national anthem of that state and country and nation. When, however, the song that had been performed as early as 1745 and ranks among the oldest anthems ever sang. John Stafford Smith, an English composer, wrote the song to the acronym "In Heaven" in the late 1700s. The music for that song became the music for the Star Spangled Banner and the national anthem of the United States. The words are taken from a poem written by Francis Scott Key in 1814. As for many of the ball games and the special events where the national anthem is sang, they could care less about the national anthem. Majority of them wasn't even concerned about anybody singing a national anthem. It didn't touch their heart. It didn't move them because they were there for one thing. The majority of them were there to have a fun time, to enjoy the game, and to drink up all the booze they could before they could get home. Oh, yeah. For those who truly love their country and those have fought for its freedom and liberty, men in World War I, Civil War, World War II, Vietnam, Desert Storm, and all those, I claim today, praise God, I was a veteran of the Vietnam War. But I want you to know there's something going on in America today that even scares me worse than that Vietnam War. There's something going on in America today, praise God, that you can talk to the elders of the church today and the pastors of the churches, and you can ask them what's going on in our church world today. What's happening in America today? Hallelujah. What's turning people away? Why are people falling off left and right? Why are people not serving God? Why can't people live right anymore? And that one person in every way would tell you the same thing. It's because America and people in the church and in the world have lost the fear of God. Hallelujah. There is a feeling that cannot be described by words that overcomes you when you hear the words saying, and when we see this flag that so many Marines and Army and Navy and Air Force have swung this flag, laid down their lives for it, to come home and watch some hippie movement and some people that don't even care about America burn it up in front of them, praise God. What are we coming to? Where are we at? They wave that U.S. flag with all its red, white, and blue stars and stripes waving in the sky. And their song goes like this. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. They planted it on Hiroshima. They planted it on other countries when they walked in and took over and tried to save the world. Yeah, we've been the policemen of the world, but God has given us the power and the might because we feared God. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave? Or the land. Oh, come on now, everybody. over the land of the free and the home of the brave. Without those men and without Old Glory and without somebody sacrificing their life, we wouldn't have this liberty today. We wouldn't have church today. We wouldn't have a place to come tonight. But God, He died upon that tree. He died upon a tree that He created. He gave every drop of His blood. Just so we could have church. I asked Pastor Copeland, what did you preach this morning? He said, 5 points on the trial of Jesus before Pilate. But I want you all to know here today that there's another anthem being sang. There's another national anthem being sang throughout the nation, throughout the country, and throughout the entire world. Oh, yeah. It's being sang by sinners. It's being sang by Christians. Oh, yeah. We are singing a new song. The national anthem of hell is everybody is doing it. Everybody is doing it. So why can't I just go ahead and do it? God, everybody's doing it. So that makes it all right for me, right? Wrong. 1,000 times no is still sin. Hallelujah. If it was sin then, it's sin now. If it's a sin now, it'll be a sin tomorrow. It don't get any easier. It don't get any better. But we got to wake up. We got to wake up. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, it does. It's okay for me to partake of sin, fulfill the lust of the flesh, look like the world, smell like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, and still claim to be a Christian. Sitting on the seat of the church, grinning and smiling and praising God and raising your hands, and then going right back out there in the world, picking up those dirty magazines and that Pabst Blue Ribbon, that Budweiser, and all those videos. We don't have to preach about television no more. We got something worse than a television, hallelujah. Yes, yes. We got something worse than a TV could ever drive to be. We got something called a smartphone, bless God. We can do it. No tracks, no traces. Babies, 3 years old, are giving the phone to Al-Kipam. At the flip of a button, they can venture out because Google knows everything. Google don't know Jesus. If it did, it wouldn't show you that filth. Google ain't been to the foot of the cross. Google ain't give his life for Jesus. Google ain't give his life for sin. Google ain't been crucified. You may be seated. Well, Brother Clack, the scripture doesn't apply. Well, we always hear it. The man tell you, heard about, read about a story, man, talking about how he lives righteous. He lives by the book. He lives by the Ten Commandments. The man says, oh, you do? Well, what are they? He couldn't tell him the first of the Ten Commandments. Oh, yeah, 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture. Everybody say all. All Scripture. That means from cover to cover, from front to rear, from Genesis to Revelation, every single Scripture, Timothy said, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Things that used to be wrong in the church, they're still wrong. If you started out with Jesus and they told you it was wrong, the pastor said it was wrong, it's still wrong today. Things are not going to change. God said, I am the same today, yesterday, and forever. I change not. Things that used to be wrong in the church begin now to be right because of our great education. Oh. Our great education and our culture. Oh, our culture. Because of political correctness. Come on. Because of political correctness, and we don't want to offend anybody. So we can't tell them like it is. We can't read the Bible like it says. Oh, some of these people ain't going to go to heaven. Those unrighteous, unholy, blasphemers of God, homosexuals, lovers of themselves, pleasure with God, they ain't going to heaven. They're not going to be in the kingdom of God. Only the pure. Only the holy, only the righteous are going to make heaven their home. Because those Bible-thumping theologians have figured it out and they tell you it's all right, everybody else is doing it, why not? Jesus ain't pleased with it. Oh, no. I want you to know if it was wrong for church members to do things when they got into this church, it's still wrong today. It was set for in their teachings, then praise God, it's still wrong today. But there's a new movement. Ooh-wee! There's a new song being sang throughout the world in the church as well. The national anthem of hell. Everybody is doing it. Church worship. We used to worship God on Sunday. And there wasn't nothing else happening on Sunday but the worship of God. I'm going to surprise some of you. When I grew up in the 50s and 60s, there was a thing called the Blue Law. You didn't get anything after 12 o'clock Saturday night until Monday morning at 7. You didn't have a place to run down on Sunday to buy your Budweisers. You didn't have a place on Sunday to go down and get your Merita and Sunbeam bread. You didn't have a place to go down on Sunday to buy your cheese and your M&Ms and your hot dogs. You had to go to church or you stayed home and you didn't buy nothing. But because of the game, but because of football, baseball, and the entertainment, they push God aside. They send their little kids out there on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock to play soccer and football and baseball. It doesn't matter to them. They belong to the First Pentecostal Church of Buford. They don't care. They want to win. They want to play. Because everybody is doing it. Oh. Exodus 29 says, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. I'm just going to stop right here. Thank God for a man that can take a church in Sunday morning, preach to them, take it back Sunday night, and preach to them again, keeping you out of all kind of mischief and trouble, keeping you off the lake, keeping you out of the pool, keeping you out of trouble, worried about you daily, praying for the church. Hallelujah. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Now, if your cow gets out of the fence, go get him. Hello. If your ox is in a ditch, they used to say, get it out. But if he keeps getting in the ditch, just shoot him. Eat him. Kill him. Dummy can't stay out of the ditch, get rid of it. Praise God. Wish it all that be that easy. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. But we're singing a new song. Woo! A new national anthem in America. home of the brave, land of the free. Oh, the national anthem of hail. Everybody's doing it. Many churches have stopped having midweek services. Many have even had one service on Sunday. Lots of church members don't even go to church on Sunday. Oh, yeah, lots of church members don't pay tithes. Oh, Lord. They don't even pay tithes to the church. Oh, no. But they all want that church clean. They want that church pretty. They want them kids to have a big time, but they ain't going to pay tithes because they owe JCPenney. They owe Sears. Ho, ho, ho. They owe Capital One. They owe MasterCharge because of that lifestyle. Everybody's doing it. So the average person in America owes $38,000 on a credit card. Praise God. Many churches. Oh, yeah. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody's willing to pay the price. Oh, no. Church members don't want to pay tithes. They don't want to pay the price to go to heaven. And if we are to please God, we must obey His word and keep His statutes and commandments. Everybody's ready to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Paul said, I die daily. Why do you think he said that? Because when that flesh gets a hold of something, he can't let it go. Paul said, I'm going to crucify this flesh. He looked in the mirror every morning and said, man, you're going to die. I'm crucifying you right now. And if you ain't crucifying that flesh when you step out into the world, next thing you know, you'll be singing the same song. You'll be singing the national anthem of hell right along with them and saying, everybody else is doing it. I think I'm going to do it. Oh, Lord, I told you, buckle up. We used to look for a reason to go to church. We used to just think of the reasons that we could have church, whether it be revival, singing, shouting, whatever, prayer. Y'all have more church up here than 90% of the churches in Georgia. I'm telling you. You don't believe me, just check it out. Call a few pastors and see what their schedule is. How many nights they have prayer? How many times do they show up for prayer? He's in the basement. Or he's in his office. Or he's in here praying. You'd be surprised what's going on in this world, in the churches. It'd scare you to death. Oh, yeah, but the reason, praise God. But now it does not make much sense, a reason just to stay home, because everybody's doing it. Don't even need a big reason. Used to think of real big reasons to tell the pastor I ain't going to be there tonight. You know, you used to always tell him, how many? No, I don't know if you raise your hands. Oh. I think it'd be just good business if you ain't going to make it to church that you call the pastor and let him know, pastor, man, I'm in the hospital. I ain't come here to make it tonight. And if that's the only reason you got, that's a good one. And anything else, you better come to church. Little Johnny's runny nose ain't going to keep mom and daddy and three sisters out. But everybody's doing it, so why not? Oh, yeah, I was so impressed to hear the story about Sister Godere, Johnny Godere's wife. A few years ago, she battled cancer. And through all her sickness and all her treatments and all her chemo and all her radiation and all those treatments, she never, never, never missed a church service. Christians dress in a dormant. Now watch them. They're going to hit the floor on this. They think I'm fixing to preach against dresses, jewelry. I ain't. I could. There was a day when Christians would dress up, look pretty to go to church. And man, I remember when they get them a new dress. Here they come, boy. Woo! They put on the shuffle. They even wore their hair different so you could see that dress. And them old men, they put them on a suit from K&G and they thought they'd arrived. Same thing. They want you to see that new suit. We used to dress up to come to the house of God. But now, the national anthem of hell says everybody's doing it. We dress down. Oh, yeah, because everybody's doing it, right? We don't have to dress up. Oh, yeah, when I came into this church, preachers wouldn't be caught outside the church or inside the church without a shirt and tie. Most of the time, it's white. I ain't throwing off on all you guys wearing colored shirts. I don't care. I still wear white. That's old school. That's me. Oh, yeah. I want to look pretty for God. Now, we're lucky to see a preacher in a suit today because everybody's doing it. Oh, yeah. Oh, preachers and teachers who are now to be role models coming to church in blue jeans that look worn out with holes in them and wrinkled shirts and preach and teach the Word of God. That's just a stench in the nostrils of God. You got to go back in there in Leviticus and Exodus, kind of read up on how he had them priests to dress. Ooh, Lord. I wouldn't want to have to dress like that. I don't know if I could handle all that. I'm sweating slam to death right now. Can you imagine having a bonnet, a head on, and all this gowns and all this stuff tied around you, a breastplate, and all this stuff dragging around with you? Oh, no. Hot ain't in it. But they were clean. They were pure. They were spotless. And when they come before God, they better be. Because if they wasn't, the little bell quit ringing and they just drug them on out. Hello. Maybe that's what we ought to do. Tie little bells on our ankles and tell them if they don't look right when they come to church, oh, they might just drop dead. And we have a rope tied to everybody. Somebody be out there on the road just dragging you right out. I believe we dress up then, don't you? The Old Testament, Nehemiah 8:4, and Ezra the scribe stood up in the pulpit of wood, like this right here. It wasn't a stool. I'm sorry to tell you, young boys, they didn't preach on a stool. He didn't teach on a stool, which they had made for the purpose, and he opened up the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened that book, he didn't have to say, will you please stand now for the reading of God's word? They was on their feet because they knew what was coming. God was fixing to speak to them. God was fixing to talk to them. God was fixing to come down in his Holy Spirit and might and minister to the people. They were ready. They give reverence to the man of God and the word of God. But now, oh, help me. They sit on their stools. They hold their little cup of coffee. Starbucks. $5 a cup, maybe. I don't know how much you don't buy. Don't drink it. Now, if you want to buy it for me, I'll drink it. But I ain't paying that kind of money for a cup of coffee when I can get one for a dollar at McDonald's. And put all the cream and sugar I want in it for nothing. Oh, everybody's doing it. Attempt to reach the lost with their dry, dead speeches. There's no more anointing in what those guys are saying to the people anymore than a man in the moon. Oh, no. They don't have to worry about it. They can Google it and get them a message or red hot right off the press, off the internet. Right. Print it out and take it to church and do it. Right. You say, how do you know that, Brother Clack? I know some that do it. Right. I've preached in pulpits. You know, that's something I do when I get up there. I kind of look under there and see what's going on. And every now and then there'll be something that catches my eye and I'll pull it out and look at it. Google. January 2016, printed it out and talked about it on a Wednesday night service. Oh, but everybody's doing it, right? Everybody's doing it. They're no longer sermons to convict the heart unto repentance, but tickle their ears because everybody's doing it. I've had men of God in the church today in Georgia tell me that I can't do it like you, Brother Clack. I can't preach conviction. I can't scream and holler at them and try to draw them to the altar. I just preach and preach the word, and if they get it, they got it. If they don't, they don't. Now, what kind of shepherd is that? Man, I'm going to tell you something. Most of you heard some of my testimony. You see, I've already been to hell and back. I done walked through hell. I ain't going back. I've done my duty in hell. I'm going to heaven. My next step from Bethlehem, Georgia, is glory land, friends. I'm not worried about what everybody else is doing. I'm worried about what Marshall Clack's doing. I'm the one that's got to do the examination of me. I can't examine all of you, but I preach it in conviction because I know how hard it is to come out from among the world. I know how hard it is to set the beer down and the liquor down and the dope down and the cigarettes. I've been there. Some of these preachers today don't have an idea of what me and you, some of you, have gone through. They can't have compassion because they don't know what we went through. They don't understand. So then they depend on somebody else to lead them to the cross of Calvary. My God. Everybody's doing it. Alcohol, tobacco, and drugs. 2 Corinthians 7:12. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, don't worry, I ain't got but about 4 more pages. Still daylight. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all, everybody say all, filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness unto the Lord. Hebrews 11:14, follow peace with all men and, come on now, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I'm going to promise you this, you'll never have any peace in your home until you have righteousness in the house. Oh no, there ain't going to be no peace. But if any man defile the, here you go, 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Psalms 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's a lot of dummies running around today in this world, including pastors, teachers, evangelists, singers, musicians, and anything else you can think of. If they don't fear God, there's something wrong with their experience. Now, let me tell you something. God don't have to get up and chase you down with a little sword. Oh, no. Guess what? He can think it. And you're a big old pile of dust and ashes. That's what I'm worried about. I want to please God. And he says that he that cometh to God must please God. And he must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, yeah, we got all kind of scripture tonight, and this is a way and a walk we must walk. Holiness will make you walk right. The Holy Ghost in filling, praise God, will make you talk right. It'll make you look right. It'll make you smell right. It'll make you do right. And it'll give you knowledge. Oh, praise the Lord. Isaiah 35:8, and we got to walk this way. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. A way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. The national anthem of hell, everybody is doing it. Good news. I'm here to tell you something, devil. Everybody ain't doing it. We ain't doing it. We're holy. We're going to stay holy. We're going to stay righteous. We're going to walk upright before men. Oh, no. Please, not all, devil. We all ain't joined the choir. Oh, no, we ain't joined that choir, the national anthem of hell. Everybody doing it. We all ain't joined that choir. You can be seated. Some still dress up for Jesus. Y'all look really pretty tonight, every one of you. Anybody that would put on a coat and tie and come out in 89 to 90 degree weather and come to church is pretty to me. I'll tell you what, he's a blessed man. He's a blessed man, and guess what? Every single one of you are blessed because he chose to come here and pastor you. A man of God that lives it, breathes it, eats it, sleeps it, walks it, talks it, and lives it. He's the example that he should be to the sheep. Oh, yeah. Some still come to church when the doors are open. Some are still praying, fasting, reading his word. Some are obeying his statutes and commandments. Some still want to glorify him and worship him. God told Elijah in 1 Kings 19 and 18, yet I have 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal and every mouth which have not kissed him. Everybody ain't doing it. Everybody ain't doing it. These preachers are stones throw away. Stones throw away. Claim to be men of God. Living like a devil and pastoring a church. And this time the church became the church of the living God. Oh yeah. Just going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Any more than going out there to the little rodeo make you a cowboy. No. You can go to church all day long. But until you live it, until you put it on, until you live it. And I got news for you. It don't matter what size you wear. When you put on the Holy Ghost, it'll fit. Oh, yeah, it'll fit. And then you can go out and tell the world, I'm a child of the King. I've been bought by a price. He paid a debt he didn't know. I owe a debt I can't pay. But he's a great big God. And everybody ain't doing it. All right. I'm getting close. I'm on page 7 out of 8. So there's hope that I'll shut up and sit down. But I want about a half a gallon of well water as soon as I get done. I've been lost 5 pounds. It's in my boots. They're squishing. Glory to God. Sweat running down my legs. But this is fun. I had more fun tonight than I have had in a long time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to this, everybody. Listen real close. God, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in number, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to God who made us. This wasn't written yesterday. This wasn't written last year. But it was written many years ago by one of the greatest presidents that we've ever known in America, Abraham Lincoln. Can you fathom how long ago that statement was read and wrote? Oh, God, we're in trouble. Does this scare you today? Does that really scare you today? It ought to. It ought to scare you. What about your promises? What about your commitment to God? Have you gone back on your word to God? Have you compromised because everybody else is doing it? You think it's okay for you to do it? Some of you here today started out a great way. Made a lot of changes in your life. Took off a lot of stuff. Put on some clothes, some of you. Hello. Some of you really look good. You took it off, put it on, and you stopped going places. You stopped doing things that you never should have done to start with. I'm going to give you a real hope. Will you stand with me tonight? Everybody stand across this building. I have already seen and witnessed the fall of an organization, the Church of God. I was there when they went and talked about it. I was seeing many of those people there. The first thing that the women did when they voted, they were going to have a vote at the General Assembly. They were going to have a vote where women could cut their hair, wear makeup, and have social drinks. Whoever brought that to the floor ought to have been excommunicated. His license should have been revoked and him thrown out in the yard and told anybody else who wants to do that, y'all get out there with him because you're done here. But they didn't do that. Revlon, Avon, Mary Kay, all those makeup companies, all those makeup companies that people are buying today that are utilizing little baby fetuses to make all that anti-aging cream. People are smearing all over their face God's children who they've killed. All those women, all those Avon people realized that they were going to vote, so they set up booths, Brother Copeland, all up and down the corridors of that building where they had that assembly. And when they approved it and it voted in, there wasn't a woman hardly left in that building. They ran out of that building. And they went into those booths buying that lipstick and that fingernail polish and that Revlon and all that garbage. And that was the downfall of an organization. Even though they were Trinitarian, they walked holy. I'll come out of that. Those people wouldn't have anything to do with me and my wife when we would go to their banquets at Christmas. After that happened in August, we went there in Christmas. We sat at a table by ourselves. The pastor of Buford, Georgia, his wife, Ed Davenport, who's gone, so I can say this. He's dead. She's gone. She was a pretty lady, had hair down to her waist. He could preach the horns off of a billy goat. She come strutting in that building late because she wanted everybody to see her. She had dyed her hair blonde. She had cut it off as short as mine. She had a white dress on, ruby red lipstick and rouge on her face, paint on her fingernails and on her toes, and she had a mink stole wrapped around her shoulders. And she come in late so they could see her new look. My God. Everybody is doing it. No, everybody at the First Pentecostal Church of Buford ain't doing it. We ain't gonna do it, devil. We're gonna live right. We're gonna walk right. We're gonna be a witness. We're gonna be an example. We're gonna read. We're gonna do Bible studies. We're gonna win the lost. And we're gonna show them how to live. They painted up. They cut their hair. Jezebel didn't have nothing on them. My late father-in-law had a saying. He would tell them he was mean. He was in the He was a southern boy from Valdosta. He'd tell them, if you ain't in business, lady, take down the sign. Wash your face. Put on some clothes. Every harlot in the Bible, you'll read about them. They dress different. They talk different. They walk different. And you go into their house not knowing it's a highway to hell. Oh, because everybody is doing it. You may have picked up things that you promised God that you'd never do it again. You may have put on something you gave up when you got the Holy Ghost. You may have went back on your word to God. Oh, yeah. But I want you to know something. You can make it right. Right here. You can make it right. Right here. Tonight. It doesn't matter if you can hide it. You may be able to hide it from Pastor Copeland. You might be able to hide it from Mom and Daddy. You may be able to hide it from your wife and your husband. But you can't hide from God. He knows. He's watching. He knows. Come to this altar tonight. The same place. Come to that Bethel where you first met God. Come to that place where you may have left God. Do you know He's right where you left Him? He's right where you left Him. He's been waiting patiently. He's been waiting patiently on you to come. Everybody is not doing it. There's still some young girls and young boys and young men and young ladies. There's still some mamas and daddies who haven't compromised. There's still a few that believe in this holiness way. Wherever your Bethel is, you can go back tonight. You can find a place in the seat or in this altar. Your pastor, I've talked to him. I've prayed with him. I've worked beside him. I've ate with him. He longs to see every one of you just blessed. Just blessed. Every one of you just living right. He can't stay with you 24 hours a day. He can't be up all night of the hours looking for you and trying to coach you back in. You are to love Him enough for all He's already given you for Him to do that. That's just because everybody's doing it. It's not going to be easy. But you know what? To hurt Jesus. There's a song that says, "Does He still feel the pain every time I fail?" I've made mistakes. I'll make some more before I ever make heaven my home. But I want you to know something. He knows my heart. And all I've got to do is say, "Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me." The national anthem of hell. Everybody is doing it. You don't have to be in that crowd. You can take a stand tonight. You can take a stand for holiness with your pastor and with Jesus and with these other men of God on this platform that I love every single one of them so dearly. Men you call elders, men of God who paved the way. I'm not patting me on the back, but I'll tell you what a 32-year-old young man told me. He walked up to me after I taught a Sunday school lesson. And they'll know they wanted us just to go through the lesson and get it done, but I can't do that because I have to put myself into that Sunday school lesson. And I got to moving in there, and the next thing you know, I got to preaching the lesson. People were standing up with their hands raised, crying. He came to me after we got through. I had already put my book up and was fixing to walk out the room. He don't hardly ever say anything. He walked up to me. He said, "Brother Clack," he said, "I just want to tell you something." Put both hands on my shoulders. He said, "You know what? When you're gone, Brother Clack, when people and men like you are gone, we are not going to have anybody to preach to us, Brother Copeland. They're going to read stories. They're going to read stories. I want a man to preach the word to me. I want a pastor that lives it. I want a pastor that loves me, that I know that's living for me and helping me and guiding me, and he ain't going to tell me not one thing to do wrong. So tonight, you want to make a statement to God and to your pastor? Leave it out there. Kick the habit. Leave it alone. Turn from the very appearance of evil. Find you a place in this altar tonight to talk to God and say, God, I'm not going to sing the national anthem of hell. I'm going to sing, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Will you come, church? Tonight's your night. Anybody feel led to come to this altar? Make your place down here. Touch God. Get a hold of his hand. Get a hold of the throne. Let God help you. We're not going to live that way anymore, devil. In Jesus' name.